Yes, sir.
Wow, Father.
Why does God want us to keep them every year? We forget.
That's right.
Your children forget to not be naughty and nice. That's why you need Santa Claus to threaten them with. Right? You need to remember to be nice and not naughty. Santa's watching. God's people need to be reminded, Sister Judy, if I could get them. Now, we're going to bring this plane to a landing. But before I do it, I owe you that are watching by way of the internet, I owe you to deal with everybody's favorite New Testament verse as to why they do not keep the Feast of Israel. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. Now, if you're tired, regather yourself now. We need you to refocus with us. I need you to get back on your spiritual ears. And Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 2. Now, here's what we're going to do. Students, thank you so much, Sister Judy. Everybody that you ever, and I have good friends watching, every minister that you ever meet, when you ask them why they don't keep the feast, they're going to go to this chapter. Colossians 2:16. Karen, I'm going to ask you to read verse 16 of Colossians chapter 2.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath.
Read the next verse.
Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Hold up. Brother Simpson, if you just read that verse, it would totally destroy the keeping of the Sabbath days and the holy festivals. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Because if you read it out of what?
Context.
Context. You make it say whatever you want it to say. But I won't let you out of that. I'll force you to find the context. My job now is to make every student in this class listen to me. Brother Smith, get ready. Karen, get ready. Sister Simpson, get ready. Brother Hope, Sister Hope, get ready. Sister, get ready. Here's the scripture they're going to come at you with. Be prepared to defend the truth. Okay? Don't let nobody judge you for the Sabbath days or the holy days, because they're just a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ, and now Christ has come, and we don't need those shadows anymore. All right. Now that sounds good. I want to high five you. We could have church on that all day. That sounds awesome. But before I deal with this, you cannot call yourself apostolic if you don't follow the apostolic example. So before we deal with this verse, and we are going to, trust that, before we deal with it, I want to ask you one question. I'll come back to that verse. Brother Simpson, who is the founder of our church? Who bought this church with his blood?
Yes, sir. Sure.
Amen. He bought the church, didn't he?
Amen.
Brother Simpson, is he a good example for us to follow?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. And let's go to John 2:23. We're coming back to this verse, y'all. We're going to end up with that. But before I can get to that verse, I've got to lay this little foundation. Let's go to John chapter 2, verse 23. All right. Would somebody read for me? Whoever's got it.
Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. I know Yeshua wasn't celebrating the feast.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
See, the reason they hate when we say his original name, because if we go back to the original, we got to start doing the original.
Right.
His name was Yahshua. Deal with it.
Yeshua.
Now, the Bible said that where was he at? Was he at the Feast of Passover?
Yeah.
I think I'll follow him there.
There you go.
How y'all feel about that?
Yeah.
How y'all feel about that? Now, I go to John chapter 7, verse 2. Y'all, we ain't got nowhere to go. We got food waiting on us.
Yeah.
John 7 and 2. Now, Brother Smith, read for me.
Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand.
All right, here we are at another feast now. Read.
His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him.
Now hold on a minute, did y'all hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear that Jesus, Yahshua's own brothers didn't believe in him?
Amen. Yep, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
They saw him raise the dead.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
They saw that they read the scripture, just like people that sat in my class. They read these scriptures.
Amen.
They don't read it.
Right.
Why? Something ain't right. Something's messing them up. So they have told him to get out of town, get away from this feast so they won't get you. Mm-hmm. Read. Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify.
Because I throw the truth in front of their face. They
yes,
hate
sir.
The world don't hate y'all because you don't put truth in front of their face.
Yes, sir.
You let them do what they want to do.
Yes,
they said they hate me. Hey, hold on. Everybody says, Brother Vaughn, why does everybody, well, you know, I don't even believe everybody hates me, but nevertheless, why does everybody respect? I'm in good company. They hated the most gentle lamb.
Yeah.
But in a little, but his truth was an animal.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Read.
Because I testify of it that its works are evil.
I say what they're doing is wrong.
Amen.
And they hate me.
Yes, sir.
They don't hate y'all
because
you're doing the wrong right along with them. But they hate me and I've never done nothing to them.
Amen.
But they hate this message.
Amen.
Why? Because it messes with what they're doing.
Amen.
Read.
You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast. For my time has not yet fully come.
Read.
When he had said these things to him, he remained in Galilee.
Ha! Read.
But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast.
I mean, he was going to sneak to that feast that he had to. He was getting to the feast.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's how important it was to obey his father's feast.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear? He knew they were going to kill him when he got there, so he had to sneak. How did he wasn't going to miss the feast.
That's right.
And y'all act like we're weird because we keep the same feast that he kept.
Uh-huh.
But yet you say he's the head of his church.
Right.
I don't understand. I promise you I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It makes not one slap bean lick of sense to me. Do y'all not see? Yeshua went up there on the chance that they would see him and kill him.
Yes.
He didn't care. He was getting to the feast. Why? His father commanded to keep this feast forever.
Amen.
My God, I wish that we could understand what these feasts are all about. Now go to 1 Peter 2. Oh, let's stay in the Word, children.
Amen.
1 Peter 2 and 21. Hallelujah. Listen to what Peter the Apostle tells us. 1 Peter 2, 21. Read, somebody.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example.
Pause. He left us an example.
Amen.
To follow.
Yes, sir.
Read.
That ye should follow his steps.
Follow his steps.
Mm-hmm.
I just read where he took some steps to the feast.
Amen.
He told me to take my cross and follow him to Calvary, didn't he? Follow his steps. Imitate him. Next verse.
Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Okay, so have we established that the head of this church kept the feast?
Amen.
Have we established that?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now what if we need two witnesses though? Let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So let's go get another. Would y'all believe me if I told you that I can show you in the New Testament a direct command to keep the feast by an apostle? Alright, let's go to Acts 18. Now I've got to deal with this before I go deal with that last part. Acts 18, verse 20 and verse 21. I don't know how y'all can stand some of this teaching. It gets so intense. Thank God for faithful saints.
Amen.
Acts 18, 20 and 21. Someone read.
When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent.
All right, here's the Apostle Paul. He's with a bunch of friends that he loves very much. And they said, Paul, why don't you stay here with us and enjoy some good fellowship? Mm-hmm. Listen to what he told them.
But look, leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast.
Woo!
In Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing.
I'll keep the feast before I'll keep my friends.
Amen.
Did y'all hear?
Come on.
I must keep this feast. Now wait a minute. We got a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeshua had done died and rose again and went to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He fulfilled the feast and we don't have to keep them no more. Then somebody forgot to tell the great Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost done, saints. Mm-hmm. Do you not see Paul after Christ running up to Jerusalem to do what?
Keep the feast.
Keep the feast. Why aren't you doing it? Next, let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to show you how important these feasts are. How what God thinks about them. Now, in Acts chapter 2, Christ has already ascended into heaven. Now, supposedly, he's fulfilled all the feasts, right? All right, Acts 2, verse 1. Whoever's got it, read it.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
All right, the day of Pentecost. Do you understand what the day of Pentecost was? The feast of Pentecost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had all gathered after Jesus then went to heaven. Supposedly fulfill the feast. What they all do and gather together on a feast day, and he fulfilled them.
Come on.
He came back on a feast day, honey. You listen to me carefully. He kept Passover on time. Wasn't he there on the 14th day? Didn't he come into Jerusalem and they arrested him? He kept unleavened bread. He went in the grave. He ate no leavened bread for those days. He kept it. On the feast of Pentecost, didn't he come back on time? I got a feeling he's going to keep his clock running at the feast of trumpets. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, glory. Now let's go to Luke 22 and 1. I hope you love truth. Luke 22 and verse 1. Read.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover.
Okay, he died on the Passover. Right when he was supposed to die. That's when they arrested him. Now, let's go to one final chapter, and I'm going to show you a direct apostolic command to keep the feast. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26.
Ready?
Read.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Yeshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance.
Okay, now hold on a minute. What did we just read in Acts chapter 2? That this happened on the night of Passover. When Yeshua broke the bread, he was keeping Passover.
Amen.
And then he said, do this. What? What he was doing. Keeping Passover.
Yes.
He never told you to keep Easter.
Amen.
He said, do this and remember. Somebody said, oh, we keep Christmas to remember Christ. He said, do this to remember me. Now, one final verse in that, 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Now watch this. This is going to blow your socks off. Six through eight, and then we're going to deal with that last verse and be done. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Let's go, Sister Hope.
Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Hold on a minute. The Apostle Paul said, because Christ was sacrificed for us, let us. Let us.
Keep
the feast. Saints, if that don't open your eyes, that's an apostolic command to keep the feast. What are you going to do with that? Paul kept it. Now, let's deal with Colossians 2 and 16. Thank you for staying with me, folks. We're almost done. Colossians 2 and 16. We're going back now to the verse. I know some of you are getting tired. I'm almost through here, I promise you. I'm trying to convince you to obey God.
Amen.
Colossians 2 and 16 is the reason that the majority of the Christian church does not keep the feast. Okay. The book of Colossians, if you go read the beginning of that book, how many's got introductions at the beginning of your books?
Amen.
Where it tells you what that book's about?
Amen.
You're going to find out when you go there that the Colossian church was not made up primarily of former Jews. Keep that in mind. This church was made up of Gentiles primarily. How do we know that? Because Paul started this church. Who was Paul sent to? The Gentiles. So this is a Pauline church. Now, Sister Hope, if you did not come from Israel, you came from the Gentile world. It was only in Israel that they believed in one God. Right? They believed in Yahweh. They believed in one God. Okay. Follow me, saints. Let's get a clear understanding now. But if you were Gentile, you didn't come from this one God, worshiping one God background.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You came from a pagan, New Age background. They all worship goddesses and different gods, and they come from a pagan background. I'm going to teach you two words today. The pagans were Gnostics and Docetists. Okay, now please follow me. What was Gnostics? They were super spiritual. They had visions. You met them in your church. Every church has got them. They super spiritual. They see everything in the world except the Word. They see little baby angels flying, and they see, they got dreams of of everything in the world, and they just always in the spirit. You can't get them in the book. That's called Gnosticism. Super spirituality. The next thing you have is Docetism. In those days, Docetism, basically both groups, Brother Butch, both groups were forbidden to enjoy life. Here's what they thought. They thought the flesh was evil, but that the man, the spirit, was good. So they would do everything in their power to destroy the flesh and live a very simple life. That's where you get the monks and the nuns and all of these people from, is from the Docetist way of life. They taught that anything enjoyable, such as, get ready, now I need y'all to stay with me here, huh? Such as meat. They were all vegans, vegetarians. They didn't believe that you should enjoy good meat. They believed you should enjoy bitter herbs and green beans. And, you know, they forbid you to enjoy good food. Because they felt like you should destroy the flesh, and then your spirit would ascend to the gods. And, you know, they didn't believe in Jesus. They believed they were gods. And that they, it's the same as today's witchcraft and New Age. It's the same.
Yes.
These pagans came from that background. Astrology. They were huge on astrology. Mm-hmm. They, and many of you may not know this watching me, but the days of the week are all named after paganism. Because the pagans worship stars, planets, they worship the moon, the witches draw down the moon, they perverted it all. And so, in those days, they had paganism and Docetism. Astrology was their big religion. They esteemed, watch carefully, one day above another day. For example, it's no different today. Some people wake up to read the horoscope and find out what their lucky day is going to be this week. You know what that's called? Esteeming one day
above
another day. There are some people that they won't do any business transactions on a certain day if it's not their lucky day. Mm-hmm. This is paganism. All of the people in the church at Colossia come from that background. Mm-hmm. You got to get this or you won't understand these verses. So here they come into the church now with that same old pagan way of thinking. They were forbidden to get married and have sexual relations. Now, when the Apostle Paul said, forbidding to marry, they come where sexual pleasure was forbidden. You couldn't have sexual fun. You couldn't enjoy good food. And they forbid them to drink any wine at all. They forbid any pleasure. Sound like some churches I grew up in. Anyway, they forbid everything. And they isolated themselves. They worshiped, every one of them worshiped the Holy Spirit, but none of them would acknowledge Jesus, Yahshua.
Yes,
it's no different today.
Yeah.
You know, when you read these books, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and everybody's Holy Spirit, and oh, the Spirit has moved me in the Spirit. But if you try to open up a book on this book on them, they'll run from you. Why? They're spiritual, but they're not Christian. Got to deal with some of you. They believed in the Spirit. They believed in the wooings of the Spirit. They moved with the visions and the dreams and the latest prophecies. And they moved in awe, and they're just listening for the Holy Spirit. But you see, here's what John says, 1 John 4 and 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, Yahshua, is come in the flesh is of God. Now what was John dealing with? He was dealing with a bunch of people that were worshiping the Spirit, but not the man, Yahshua. Mm-hmm. going to show you. This was this plagued the early church. The spiritualism. Everybody, let's just get in the spirit. Oh, let's just get in the glory. And let's just, but let's get out of doctrine. Let's don't deal with truth at all. I'm about to bust up some playhouses.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you don't believe I'm telling you the truth? You don't believe I'm telling you the truth? He said it, that these spirits that does not confess that Yahshua has come in the flesh, they're not of God. They don't want to deal with the flesh. They want to stand the spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They're Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're of this world. Now listen, as John dealt with these people, they all would come to a worship service. Why? Because you can feel the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Until the book's going to be open. The man, Yahshua, this is Yahshua, y'all know that, right?
Amen.
In the beginning was the
Amen. Word.
The Word was with God, the Word became flesh.
Amen.
Yahshua is the Word.
Yes, sir.
See, John was dealing with the same stuff I'm dealing with. A bunch of spiritual people that wanted to feel the Holy Ghost, but didn't want you to open this book.
Amen.
I'm sorry. They'll mind you opening Hebrews 8. There's no condemnation. Just put half of it to them. They don't mind a little bit of book.
Come on. Yeah.
Or, go over there. Read this one to them. For you are the head and not the tail. You read that book.
Come on.
But when you start going with the teaching of the doctrines of Christ, the man.
The man.
Amen.
You lose them. You think anything's changed today?
No.
Gnosticism, docetism, forbidding you. Don't do anything in your marriage that's too sexy, honey. Don't eat no good food. You can't do this and you can't do that. You can't do this. Can't do that. Same spirit. It's the same. Honey, go have fun. Enjoy your life. Go enjoy yourself. There's freedom in Christ. Just don't break the commandments.
Amen.
Come on. Buy you a lingerie, do something. And make your life happy.
Amen.
God wants you to enjoy yourself. Yes. Right?
That's right, come on.
Amen.
See, there's a spirit that comes in that makes you think God wants to stop your life. Mm-hmm. He wants you to have the best life you ever had.
Amen.
He wants you to do it by obedience to Him.
Amen.
So what they were dealing with then was super spirituality. All right. Generally, in those days, listen carefully, they taught that Jesus only appeared to have a body, that it was not really a real body. This error developed out of the dualistic philosophy which viewed matter as evil, that God could not be associated with the flesh, and that God, being perfect, could not suffer. Therefore, they taught that Yahshua wasn't really flesh like we are. They taught that He was spirit flesh. These Gentiles came from pagan backgrounds, docetism and Gnosticism. They were forbidden to enjoy life in any way. Everything was forbidden. Life was a complete isolation. They shunned the material world and they embraced the glory world. The spiritual world.
Yeah.
They embraced the spiritual world.
Yes, sir.
Now, praise the Lord. Now, when they embraced the spiritual world, they loved the following to this day. Do you know what they loved in these days? They loved what they loved today. They loved angels. Mm-hmm. Be careful of angel worship.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't mind you telling them that an angel came to you and told you a wonderful thing. But if you said it says in the book of Luke chapter 7 verse 42, run out of the room.
Right.
Wow.
I'm telling you, the day we're living in, super spirituality.
Amen.
But they couldn't tell you one thing about the Sabbath day or the seventh day or the coming of Yahshua, the man to set up a physical government. No, everything is spirit. This is what they dealt with in those days. They loved visions and dreams. I saw three horses up on three clouds, and they were riding on top of three rainbows, and the rainbows jumped on the back of three lions, and they went through the sky. But if you say, you know what the Bible said, honey, they'll shut you down.
Amen. right.
Be careful of super spiritual people that won't take it to the book.
Yes, sir.
Brother Simpson, my ministry has been filled with people that they're scared of the book. You know how you know? You want a sure sign that they're scared of the book? When they say these words, "I'm not going to debate you." Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they don't know the book. Mm-hmm. They're just going to say you're wrong without debating you, because they can't debate you because they don't know the book. Mm-hmm. All they know, oh, Brother Vaughn, who are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. All they know how to do is feel the Spirit. Mm-hmm. 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 Didn't we have a move of God last night? Mm. Didn't the Spirit move? What's your honor? What's your honor about this book?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't you know the Spirit's moving at seances? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's right.
Come on. Yep.
Don't you know they're feeling the Spirit at a rock concert? What do you think they're jerking their heads for? They're feeling something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all better be careful of these spirits. Mm-hmm. That are seducing you because it feels like God.
Come on.
Now, what does that have to do with this verse? Everything. Because when I read it, the verse to you again in a few minutes, with this knowledge, the verse is going to make sense to you. Mm-hmm. Alright? The Word of God is eternal. They teach knowledge can be reached by poverty. They talk no wine, no meat. Sexual abstinence. Oh, sound like one of the churches I know out of Rome. Mm. They taught to teach wisdom. If you notice that right on Facebook, I'm going to prove to y'all, you know how I know we're living in the same days the apostles did? You go on Facebook and post something that sounds like it's full of wisdom, and everybody hits the love button. Put a scripture up, you can't get a like.
Yeah,
well, they don't act like I'm on Mars right now if you want to.
Come on.
We're living in the same world. People want wisdom. I can read to you from the Bible. They were lovers of wisdom. They never had to say something that sounded woo than to teach doctrine to them.
Amen.
Come on. Or you can get on there and say, your best days are ahead because your worst days are behind, and your greatest days are upon you because your worst.
Oh, I know.
Put a scripture up there. They don't want the book. They want wisdom.
Come on.
They seek after wisdom. They read every philanthropist on the market, but try to teach them the Feast of Israel, the story of the Bible. They reject this word.
That's so true.
Seeking after the wrong wisdom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that knowledge, we're going to go back and I'm going to prove to you that this is not talking about the holy days. Colossians 2, 16. Let's start again. Now this time we're going to read it with an understanding. Oh, and I'm done after this short reading. Mm-hmm. Now remember when we read this, who's Paul writing to? Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Foreign or what? Pagans. Mm-hmm. That didn't believe in eating meat or drinking wine, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. That word should be eating meat. Mm-hmm. Go look up the original. Now, why would anybody be judging you for eating meat? If you were a former pagan, they would. Mm-hmm. See, these Christians had come into the church and they started eating meat. Do you know where they was eating it at? Huh? At the feast. Because in the Old Testament, God told them to bring your food. When they were getting ready to do the feast, he said, bring food. You ain't believe what else? He said, bring your wine. I ain't going there. He said, bring it all and come celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
That's what he said. Don't believe I, y'all believe I ain't showing you?
Come on.
You don't believe, come on, believe I know. Amen. You want to keep your old way of thinking. That's your God. Now, he tells these Christians that have come into the church that started eating meat at the festivals. Mm-hmm. They were being judged now by certain
Mm-hmm.
Not the church, but certain men outside the church. I'm going to prove it to you. He said, let them, no man judge you in eating meat or in drinking. You think he's talking about water?
No. Come on.
Amen.
They was drinking at these feasts.
Amen.
Come on.
People get so uncomfortable at me.
Come on.
Because I read the book. They don't want you to read the book. Mm-hmm. They want you to tell them what they've always heard. Mm-hmm. What do you think they was drinking?
Wine.
I prove it to you. Now, they were drinking a glass of wine. What do you think they were drinking at communion in those days?
Wine.
Why? So much so that Paul told them to go home because they're all getting drunk at the church. I know you don't want to hear it because your church says different. I don't care about your church. I care about this word.
Amen. Come on.
So they were judging them for eating meat and drinking wine. Now, let's keep reading. All in respect of these holy days, all of the new moon, Sabbath days, how do we tell when the festivals begin? By the what? The new moon. These festivals are called Sabbath days. Where was they eating meat? Where was they drinking wine? At the new moon Sabbath days, because the church was keeping them.
Amen.
And somebody was judging them for enjoying God's feast. Now we get to verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Number one, we got a major problem. There's a word in that verse that ain't supposed to be there. I need my students to identify that word. I've taught you how to read your Bibles. If you see a word in italics, it was not in the original scriptures. When somebody finds it, let me know.
Is.
I'm going to pull out the Bill Clinton phrase. It depends on what is. Now, take the word is out because it was added by men, not God. Take it back out. It was put in there wrong. Nobody should have put the word is in there. They knew it. That's why they put it in italics. They said this ain't original. But they didn't understand what it meant. So the only word that would make it make sense is the word is. So let's take is out. Let's read it again. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. Now that don't make no sense. That's why they put is in there. That didn't make no sense. The reason it didn't make sense is because they didn't know verse 16 when it says, let no man judge you. They didn't know what men Paul was referring to. Paul was telling the church members, let none of those men that you used to be part of, none of those certain men judge you or condemn you for eating meat, for drinking wine at the New Moon Festival, because these are shadows of things still to come. The only ones that can judge you is the body of Christ, the church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
That is brilliant. It's over with. The argument is dead. It's over.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Graveyard dead. Did your eyes open up just then?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because where does judgment begin? In the church, the house of God. We judge one another. Nobody out there judges us. We judge one another.
Yes, sir.
And see, they had come into the church now. And they said they were eating wine. They were drinking meat. They were doing it for the festival. Their former pagans were telling them, you shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be eating. You shouldn't be at those festivals. You should get in the Spirit more. Paul was saying, don't let them men judge you, because what we're participating in is shadows of things still to come. Only let the church judge you in these matters. Just to take the word is out.
Yeah.
And it'll make it all make sense.
Yes.
Now, brother Ron, that sounds so good, but can you prove to us that these certain men that Paul was talking about was former pagans? I thought you would never ask.
Wow.
Let's go to the next verse. Now he's going to talk to you about these certain men that was judging them. Mm-hmm. Let no man beguile you or seduce you into voluntary humility.
Mm.
False humility. Everybody act real spiritual and all moral. See, pagans, this is how they act. You want me to prove it to you? They won't serve God, but they're all out there, a bunch of witches, wishing you light and life and well wishes.
Mm-hmm.
They're humble.
Wow.
But they won't even bow to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see if he's talking about it. And the worshiping of angels.
Mm-hmm.
You think it was former Jews that was worshiping angels? Somebody better answer me.
Come on.
Who did the Jews worship?
Yahweh.
They didn't worship angels.
Amen.
See, everybody reads this verse and they say that was Jews that was telling them y'all ought to be keeping the Sabbath. No. This was pagans making fun of them for keeping Sabbath. Because these pagans, they worship angels. They were humble. They went around wishing you love and rainbows and light. They were so humble. Oh, darling, I wish you so much light and life. See, humble, so humble.
Mm-hmm.
But they worship angels. Now, the next part says, and they intrude into those things which you've not seen. What is that? Visions. They go higher than they should. They get into the visionary realm. They see the Gnosticism and Nirvana, and they escalate into the glory. All rooted in paganism, you better be careful.
Yes,
get back in the book.
Amen.
He said, do you know what he's doing? He's telling you what former men they were associating with that's now judging them for keeping Sabbath. He's describing these former people to them.
Yes.
Next verse, Colossians 2 and verse number 19. Now, he said they're going into visions, but notice verse 19 what they're not doing. Obeying the head.
Mm-hmm.
Holding to the head. Who was the head?
Christ.
Yeshua, Yahweh.
Yes.
He said they worship angels, but they won't submit to the law of Yahweh.
Amen.
They're in the spirit, but they're not in the word.
Right.
Keep reading. And from which all the body and the joints have nourishment. Verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Now I got a question. How many in this room believe the Ten Commandments was the rudiments of this world?
Amen.
You better think before you answer. You think the Ten Commandments was the rudiments of this world? The laws of this world? Who were the Ten Commandments laws?
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? See, what the church tries to tell you is that those two verses up there say that the Jews were trying to get the Christians to keep the Sabbath and they were judging them for not keeping it. It's the complete opposite. They were judging them for keeping it and trying to bring them back to the rudiments of the laws of this world. Honey, how dare you say the Ten Commandments are the rudiments of this world? No! They was bringing them back to paganism!
That's right.
Why are you subject to those ordinances? What ordinances, Brother Vaughn? May I teach you verse 21? Here is the rudiments of the world that they was bringing them Christians back to. They were mocking them for keeping Sabbath and holy day. They wanted to bring them back to these three ordinances. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21. Touch not. No sex.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman church still practices with their priests. No sex.
Mm-hmm.
Touch not. Wow, what happens when you touch? You enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, wake up. Touch not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read where Paul said that in those days the pagans were forbidding them to marry? Why? Because it was enjoyable, honey. God wants you. He wants you married. He wants you enjoying it. That's why he created it. He wants you riding high. He wants you enjoying life. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to enjoy a woman. That's why I gave her to you. Quit all this fake religious stuff with me. Enjoy your wife. If you don't, some other stank will come by for you to enjoy. Enjoy. But you see, these pagans, they didn't believe in sexual pleasure. Is it, ain't y'all adults?
Amen.
Come on.
Ain't y'all adults?
Come on.
No pleasure. None. Oh, let's be spiritual and pray. Now, prayer was that. Pray in the morning. There comes a time when you got to enjoy life.
Amen.
See, they were trying to bring them back to that. The rudiments of this world. What was the next rudiment? Handle not. Oh, taste not. There's your meat. There's your wine. See, you see?
Yes.
They were trying not to taste nothing good. This is what they were trying to bring them back to, was these three rudiments. No pleasure, no food, no wine, and not to handle it or enjoy it. But listen to what Paul said. After the commandments and the doctrines of men, these commandments were not God's commandments that the Christians were. These were the doctrines of men. Finally, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. Oh, he's so wise. People worship wisdom. They worship good sayings. But they neglected the body. Don't feed the body. Don't enjoy it.
Got it.
No satisfying of the flesh. But you see, when you come to Christ, you can enjoy life. So long as you walk in His commandments. And what the church has preached over the years as commandments are not commandments. They're doctrines of men.
Right.
All right, so let's wrap it up with this. Those two verses that everybody uses, here's what it says. Don't let those pagans that you just left mock you for keeping the holy days, for eating good food while you're there,
yes,
or for enjoying the communion wine while you're there. Don't let them mock you. Only let the body of Christ judge you in these matters.
Amen.
Amen.